That's right. We're back. It's Beer and Ball. It's Aaron and Bill. It's Cheesehead TV 97.3, The Game. And it's another frustrating Packers loss. Just when we thought we were turning a corner, Bill, the 2022 Green Bay Packers decided to show up again on Thursday night against the Titans. Let me ask you this, because I've spent the day producing various content, and I feel like I've spent the entire day expressing my frustrations with this team. Let's open up the floor for someone else's voice. What's the most frustrating thing for you when it comes to this team? Because, I mean, after what feels like a broken record on Thursday night, there are ample things to choose from.
That's a good question. I'd start it with, and I think it's been one of the more discussed ones, it's the lack of being able to be complimentary, right? Like, not that I don't think they can, because I think that they are talented. I think they're more talented than in just about every single game nags this year that they've showed. But the inability to build upon the momentum that you get mid-game, really the only time we've seen that in the last, like, damn near 2 months was against Dallas, which is more and more becoming the game that teams win that you probably shouldn't, right? Like, it's starting to look more like that one game that bad teams win when, you probably shouldn't have won that game. You probably shouldn't have lost that game. They may have happened in back-to-back weeks with Detroit and Dallas. Right. And the juxtaposition is, Nags, they can never be good on both sides of the ball for seemingly 35 minutes, which is a really concerning trait for a team that is young. Yes, I think we all anticipated we'd feel better about at this point.
Yes.
And I also think that you would, like, I asked Andy Herman this on the radio on Monday, where it was, by Thanksgiving, you're supposed to kind of know who you are.
You're
right?
Supposed to have an identity.
You're and supposed the Packers to have an identity.
They have one,
and it's brutally inconsistent. And that is, they're young. You knew there'd be growing pains, but you thought by this time you'd be markably better. I think they're a little bit better, but it's not enough to be a real factor right now.
That's so interesting you say that, because that's something I have discussed a lot today and pretty much all week in regards to, at this point of the season, what did you expect to see? And look, I think we've known where this was headed for a while. This team has not exactly shown up more often than not for a full 60 minutes. But you've seen flashes, and that's kind of what teases you, right? And that's what gets you excited if you're a Packers fan, especially coming off that Dallas win. You can see a path to victory. Run the football.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, take advantage of turnovers. It's everything they did in that game. But what's concerning, kind of trying to, like, start to look forward, right? Like, yes. Is there a path still to the playoffs? Sure. There is also an ability to tie a elephant's tail to a daisy hanging off a cliff and not have it fall, if you listen to physicists. But, you know, we live in reality. And when you look forward to where this team is headed, the concerning part for me is you can see a lot of problems that they had week one that are still there in week 11. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's coaching. You know, that's this staff. That's where you look and you say, you know, the young players, you're talking about the youth on this football team, and there certainly are many veterans, right? But the youth on this football team, who's getting better? Who's come along in this stretch here from week one to week 11? Who can you say? We always talk about the biggest jumps for guys go from year one to year two, right? Who in year two is playing markedly better than they did in year one? Where is the kind of development for this team that really likes to lean into draft and develop? Where's that development coming from? Because right now, week one, week 11, it looks like the same team to me. And that, again, projecting forward, this is a team that's going to have to kind of reconstitute itself this offseason. But man, is this staff up to the task? It's that to me is a concern.
That's a really good point. And it then goes to, right, like, I'll use Josh Myers, for example, because I watch him as much as I can.
Yep.
I thought by this point in the season, you'd be looking at him being like, ooh, probably one of the five or six best centers in the NFC, right? Like, he was going to start making some pushes to be in. And I think Josh has gotten better. Like, he's played better in just about every game. But he still has the head scratching mistake where you're like, you really thought that would kind of be coached out at this moment. And granted, he's 23.
Right. And still, barely played a full season of ball, right?
Right. As far as so many games last year. But right. I think that would be like the one example where you could look at and be like, okay, he is still getting markedly better enough at a rapid enough pace to compete with a 38-year-old starting quarterback behind you who is going to be demanding AF.
Right.
Probably not. And like, that's the... You've brought it up a bunch of different times, and I think it's a great point of the marriage between the front office and the coaching staff of what they expected the team to look like. And that's one where I think the front office has a point to say, we've given you this talent. Like, we expected a little bit more to be grown from it at this point. And then on the other side, they're like, well, hey, Isaiah McDuffie looks better than he did last year. Well, no shit. And he was hurt last year. So, I mean,
like, he barely
I'm going through my mind of all the draft picks from a year ago. Royce Newman got benched. I mean, like, he started going through the pecking order of second
Eric
year
Stokes did not look great prior to his injury. You know,
he had taken a step back. Yep. And obviously Amari cut, Newman benched. You can go down the list. It's not great. That being said, as I look at their young players, right now, the dudes in 2022.
I mean, this class
look like they can ball.
This class
Quay has gotten a little bit
promising.
Better.
Yep, I totally agree.
Obviously, the wide receivers look promising, and you start to see some Zach Tom. You and I have talked glowingly about. So it's a weird struggle where they haven't they just have not had enough built in depth to sustain a couple of the brutal losses, but. When you have some of those personnel losses, I hate to say it this way because I think it's really unfair because the dude's 27 and walking into his prime. But two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks lose the number one receiver in football this year.
Yep.
And one of them's 4-7. One of them's going to go win the MVP.
Yep.
But it's been a difficult line.
Both teams for their respective quarterbacks had very different approaches in how they built the offense around them, you know? Yep. And I think that's the greatest error the Packers made. Not in the sense that they didn't bring anyone in. Like, I understand the idea of, okay, we were 7-0 without Devontae, with Matt and Aaron. We're going to reshape this wide receiver core with a lot of youth. We'll have some, you know, we'll assign a cheap vet, Randall Cobb's there, blah, blah, blah. Like, I understood that approach, but the fact that the personnel group handed them a very specific type of offense and they flat out just refused to recognize it. That to me is head scratching, you know, where, and then you throw in the fact that the quarterback has broken his thumb and they still flat out refuse to just button it up and run the ball. I get it's going to be ugly at times and I get it's going to be frustrating, but I mean, remember back in 2003 when Brett broke his thumb and they just handed the ball off to Mon Green, like 4 billion times a game. They would bring in Kevin Berry, go U71, and they said, okay, we're just going to run the ball. And then Brett would have to make a throw or two. It was, by the way, the formula they utilized against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no mystery that the game where Aaron Rodgers has his fewest pass attempts is the game they won. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
No, I don't think so at all. And like comparing the two sides of like the way the Chiefs supplemented and the way the Packers did, look who's using a starting a rookie right now and what position. They're starting a rookie running back and some vets that you can find around in the wide receiver spot. It's and to the Cowboy Titan thing, like just vice versa, right? Like the Cowboys, that's a matchup you had to do. Okay, good. Let's go. You can utilize and find reasons to run the football to neutralize whatever pass rusher you see over on the other side that you think might be a little bit of a problem. Find a good way to run it. This week, and as I've come a little bit more removed from the Titans game, the more and more I look at it, Nags, that was the maybe one of the, I don't want to go too dramatic with it, but one of the worst matchups in the NFL for how they got to play offense, because you dictated it. You got to be able to run the ball. And I think going in, they knew they probably weren't going to be able to,
but that's what's frustrating. And I said, leading into the game, I was like, I'm not going to be surprised if they abandon the run because I know they're going to have trouble running it, but that doesn't mean they should. Mm-hmm. And you Fair. Flip it and look at the Titans. You know, everyone in the Packers' fear is talking about, oh, they held them at 3.1 yards per carry. Yeah, but it allowed the Titans to live ahead of the sticks. It allowed mm-hmm. the Titans to live in an area where they asked Tannehill to throw it on third down, only needing 3 yards or 4 yards. And, okay, that's a way we can operate. That's how they wanted to operate. The Packers could operate that way. The Packers should absolutely operate that way. But for whatever reason, the quarterback, they won't. You know, and that's to their detriment. Yeah. That is absolutely to their detriment. And at this point, I'm so frustrated by it because the path to victory is clear for this team. And for whatever reason, they refuse to embrace it.
And I wonder if it was like, if the Cowboy game happens 2 weeks earlier, do they have a chance to write it? But then again, dude, that was walking into Washington, right? Yes. Like you knew you had to run the ball against Washington because of what their pass rush is going to do. And when they walk up and say, I mean, I don't know, they didn't do anything different. They didn't do anything different. Well, then you knew what they were going to try to do. They were going to try to beat you with Montez Sweat, who is a dog on the outside.
And what do they do?
Guys, they're going to run right at you.
And they played a ton of two shell. They played a ton of two high. Both Rodgers and LaFleur said after the Washington game, they played a majority of two. You know how you get people out of two high? You run the ball.
Run
you know?
At them.
It's so mind-numbingly frustrating. And I get it. I have no doubt. Someone in the comment section after we put this up will say, you know, they tried running and they didn't get anything. Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about. In sticking with it, it's going to be frustrating. You're going to get 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You stick with it because that is your best path to victory. And two, it is also incumbent upon the staff to start utilizing these guys to the best of their ability and put them, they always say, I'm going to put our guys in the best position to succeed. You know what is not the best position to make A.J. Dillon succeed is to run zone out of gun. If I see one more zone run out of the shotgun, handed it to A.J. fucking Dillon, I'm going to lose my mind. Put that man behind the quarterback, get him a full head of steam, and let him attack the line of scrimmage. Do some angle, do some gap, do a little counteraction and let him get downhill. This stuff where he's standing next to Aaron and just takes the handoff and then there's nowhere for him to go ever. It's just maddening to me. It's maddening.
And they threw the number out, or they actually didn't say the number. They're like, well, our numbers are really good running out of gun.
Oh, I know.
You do it all the time.
I know.
Like, because that's the only time it seems like you run the ball is kind of out of gun. So it's not all that surprising.
And a lot of times, a lot of times, well, we're really successful running out of gun. Yeah, because Aaron Jones makes chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does Jones get up in there and there's nowhere to go and he darts outside, gets around the corner and picks up 8 yards? You know, Aaron Jones is responsible for that more than the gun is.
And that's the positions when they succeed. Man, Jones is really good when he's closer to the line. I think he's able to read it quicker and dive forward, take advantage. And there's so much that has been, I guess, kind of seemingly obvious to us watching, yet whether it's just insubordinates, not wanting to, not giving a shit, right? Like just deciding to do something different. They focus their offense on the wrong things. And I could say the same deal of putting your guys in the right positions to win on the defensive side, too. Like, as many times this week as you saw Quay Walker attacking downhill, I think one was because he knew that Derrick Henry was going to try to test him. And he did. Yep. He did. I thought he lived up to the challenge most of the times. But
I do, too.
Derrick Henry is going to win battles. I mean, the guy's going to go to the Hall of Fame out
He's
of this generation
train.
For a
reason.
Of course. Right.
Of course.
But when you put Darnell Savage in slot coverage throughout, maybe that gets, and again, Nags, like we talked about it, how many different times, feel like a broken record. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's players.
Yes.
All I know is somebody is supposed to can drop on the bottom of the screen on the, whatever it is, third and 10, where the cat runs a clean corner route for 20 yards and a first down. Like, and once it comes to week 11, whether it's scheme, whether it's personnel, whether it's talent, the coach has to make a decision on that, and that they have not been able to do.
And that's what it's kind of more
been willing to do, I should say.
Right. And that's what's mind numbing is that week one, coming out of week one, you're like, okay, yeah, communication breakdowns, totally get it. First week of the season, blah, blah, blah. It's week 11. And you've still got issues in the secondary where, I mean, this is day one install stuff. It's like, here's a stack set. We've got two receivers. If then, if one guy goes this way, I've got him. The other guy, I got him. But we see again and again, defensive secondary members both taking one dude and another guy screaming wide open.
Yep.
How does that happen in week fucking 11?
And both guys looking at each other like,
wait, afterwards, pointing and go with this or the other way. It's like Dom Capers never left. Like, man, what are we doing? That to me is just like, it's so frustrating.
And I would butcher the young man's name, so I'm not going to, but he's the defensive coordinator in Denver who had interviewed Packers defensive coordinator job. I saw Schneidman toss that one out there of how well he's performing taking over McFangio. All right.
It's a little frustrating. A little frustrating.
But anytime
you can hire the defensive coordinator of a 0-16 team, you got to do it, man.
Yeah, you got to pounce. You got to pounce.
Especially if you worked with him before. It's it's rough, man.
Well, and I think it was because I consumed as much of it as I could on the way back on Thursday night. Drew and I listened to you right after on the gut reactions. We listened to Schneidman and Huber. No, it was fantastic. I liked how you said we're going to keep this short and brief. I think 14 times from when I counted.
Yeah.
Like 28 minutes in, and I'm like, Mags, you're going through it, dude. It's okay. Yeah. We're all going through it with you.
You got to do it.
You got to lay it on out there, and I'm going to try to be brief, but guess what? Team sucks, so I'm a little bit pissed right now, and I'm going to keep going with it.
A little bit. Well, it's just tough when you see them end their season.
Totally.
You ended your season.
All the hope and optimism came gushing right through you. You got slapped in the face of reality with this team is probably going to be picking in the top 10. And
As of right now,
10 was starting.
As we record, they have the 11th overall pick.
Mm.
11th.
I mean, and to dig out of that, Nags, think about it. You're probably going to have to beat at least one to two teams you really have no business beating. They got no business beating Miami. They have no business winning this week against Philadelphia.
Other game, I could see it. But Philly and Miami. And you know what? Yeah. Honestly, I could even see it in Philly. I really could. I could really see them doing it. As far as getting in there, they have no business doing it. But I could see it. Like, they run the ball effectively. This team in Philadelphia has not been great against the run.
Yeah,
they have looked mortal these last 2 weeks. Like, I could see it. Mm-hmm. Miami, totally. No chance in Miami. Christmas is going to be the worst. It's like, I'm so ready to have the worst fucking Christmas in like decades. It's going to be so embarrassing. Tyreek Hill is going to make this in secondary just look like, it's going to look like the fucking 70s and 80s. It's going to be bombs away. Christmas.
I'm ready to have the worst fucking Christmas.
It's gonna be the worst fucking Christmas of my adult life. I'm so ready.
Yeah, it's gonna be painful, dude. And
awful. And what's worse is the Packers are gonna pull some bullshit and they're gonna start winning and we're all gonna get excited. Maybe they will run the table and then Christmas will come and they'll absolutely get their ass kicked. And
so what you're saying is they're gonna win two into the bye, beat the Rams out of the box.
Everyone's going to be excited and everyone's going to be ready for it. Everyone's going to be talking playoffs. The Packers will send out their little, get ready for playoff tickets. And everyone will be talking. And then they'll get their butt kicked on fucking Christmas.
And then Tyreek Hill breaks the single game receiving record. 100%.
100%. Against this secondary? Are you kidding me?
Shades of Julio Jones.
They just
Jones
made
on
the
Monday
Tennessee Titans wide receivers look like the greatest show on turf. What do you think Tyreek Hill is going to do?
Let alone Jalen Waddle. Yeah, I don't want to think about it. The only silver lining is I got Tua and Tyreek Hill stacked in dynasty leagues, there, and that's going to be playoffs. So
you know what my stack is?
I mean, miserable,
fun.
Dude.
You know what my stack is? Derek Carr and Davante Adams. So I'm coming off a good week, but
hey, there
overall,
you go.
It's been a pretty up and down season.
Kidding. Man, they showed Devontae's numbers, and you just like –
What's crazy is he's got good numbers on the season.
Oh, super good. So good.
Never,
he's had
Like he's had like four feast and famine type year.
He's had like three or four straight 100-yard games. And the last, they could end up winning the rest of their games. Right. And still the only thing people are going to remember from this year is, man, Davante Adams was really frustrated. You see him shove over that reporter? Like, that's going to be the lasting image from this year.
The entire season for the Raiders.
He could catch, he'll have 1,600 receiving yards, and people will say, oh, he had a shit year. Remember when he shoved over that reporter? What a jerk.
I know. And he's literally on pace for, like, a career year, numbers-wise. Which is insane. Which is insane when you think about the numbers he put up in Green Bay. That's just nuts. Okay, let's look at this Philly game. What do you think? How the Packers approach it? How does it come out? Where do they last pass halftime? What do you think happens?
So, like you, I see a path for it to be a good game late into the second half, right? Like right. The Eagles don't stop the run, especially when you run it at them particularly well. That's why they brought in Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph, pardon me. Right. They're a little dinged up front. I think you can make some hay moving it against them. Man, I have trouble thinking that you're going to slow down Hurts and that running game, though. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
going to meet, especially Hurts. In my opinion, especially Hurts, and yeah. especially if you don't have DeVondre Campbell, because, while Chris Barnes probably
laid the wood on Tannehill. That was a great
on
hit.
Tannehill.
I love that hit. Oh my God.
I think you're going to get shook a little bit better from Jalen Hurts than you will Ryan Tannehill when he gets up out of the pocket. A little bit.
A
little bit. They're an impressive unit, but they're not that great. I don't think they're.
Well, I think they've hit a lull. That's for sure.
Big time. And even when they were undefeated, I think they're very beatable. But when they play their way and play from ahead, they're really
well. That's a big part of it, right? Is that front on defense being able to get after it? Like and then they have Slay, who's so good at corner to take away your number one option, which will be fascinating to see where he lines up. Right? Does he go? Because look, the Packers are still operating as though Lazard is their number one, which is crazy to me. Right? Yeah. Like there were so many. If you look at the tape, there's so many instances where Christian Watson is wide open and doesn't get the ball, but I don't fault Rodgers for that because he's not the read, right? Like the read is clearly someplace else and Rodgers is looking there, blah blah blah. But man, Christian Watson is fucking open, yo. So I'm wondering if the Eagles kind of maybe not roll things his way, but they put Slay over there a little bit more than maybe they would have a couple weeks ago, just because it's clear Christian Watson's coming up, you know, and it's clear that he's the biggest problem as far as an offensive receiving weapon for the Packers. So I'm fascinated to see how Philly approaches that. And to their on offense, I mean, look at that game against Indy. They did nothing on offense most of the day until Hurts started just running the ball. Like once they started running, and particularly running with the quarterback and giving Indy's defense some number issues, you know, then that's when they started to move the ball. They basically salted the game away that way. To me, that's going to be the Packers' kryptonite. Like, I just think Barry's not had great success against mobile quarterbacks. He's had two games in his tenure where I can kind of point to and go, okay, he did a decent job there. Whether it was Mahomes last year, both last year actually, Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Like, he did a pretty decent job against both of them, but neither of them were utilized as a primary running threat the way Hurts is in this Eagles offense.
Yeah, and Jalen is interesting from a couple of standpoints where he isn't – I actually think he's a better passer than people give him credit for. I think he's a better passer than they utilize
him. He's improved,
like,
too. That's the other thing.
He's improved. Really he can improved. Spin it.
Yeah.
But when you play, right, like they'll say, like, oh, they're just going to play man on, and that's 11 on 11. I'm going to run with the quarterback, and you're going to try to tackle. Dude, he is one of the scariest cats, like size-wise.
Like in the open field.
In the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legit 230.
That's a load
and he will bear it into
you. He'll truck you,
and
man.
Yeah. He knows how to move his body. He will take a big hit, but he'll deliver one. So, Allen is kind of the same way, but Jalen runs smarter and more physical.
Well, and again, they draw stuff up for him, whereas Allen kills you with his scrambling ability. you know, Hurts is like they're drawing up plays for him, kind of like the Bears do with Justin Fields, who that's totally. Another yep. aspect. That's going to be a fascinating game when the Packers have to play them in a couple weeks. But
yeah,
I think to me, that's going to be the big problem for the Packers. Like, I think, yeah, they'll get thrown on. I think they're not shutting down anything in the passing game, but I just think they'll do enough in that regard as they have most of the year. And then they'll fall apart against the running quarterback.
The most frustrating thing that you will watch on Sunday night will be Devontae Smith getting 7-yard hitches.
Oh my God.
Like they're gifts. Like they're giving away packages from Amazon. You just walk on out and, oh, there's another one today. Oh, it's December 22nd. Okay. There's another box out here.
You know, like the unforgettable image from that fucking Titans game is seeing, because if you, what I do when I watch games initially, when I rewatch them is I look at, I rewatch the broadcast, right? And then I'll go and look at the coach's tape. And then what I'll do is while I'm rewatching the broadcast, if there's a particular play where, you know, oh, what's the coverage there? How did that guy get behind him or whatever? And then I'll instantly go to the coach's tape. The most frustrating aspect of rewatching that game is on the broadcast where they always have the yellow line, right?
Yeah.
It's unofficial, whatever. Yo, the King Titans just kept running to the imaginary line and then running an out.
Mm-hmm.
All they did was run to the sticks.
To the sticks.
And then turn, and the ball was there. Like, it was like 7-on-7. It was like passing fucking drill. It was so frustrating.
I saw whatever Schwartz, Jeff Schwartz, who I love, by the way.
Love Jeff.
When he hit you back or whatever, he's like, oh, right. Tannehill just taking the easy one. You're like, no, he did it all night.
All night? Because
they let him have the easy stuff where it's not mat, supposed to be easy.
The welcome mat was laid out all night
The
long.
Easy one in zone is supposed to be 5 yards underneath when it's 3rd and 10 and you come up and make a tackle to make it 4th and 3. Exactly. Not Rudy Ford backpedaling until he's at the sticks.
Oh, God.
God bless Rudy Ford.
A lot of that.
Has a lot of heart. I mean, that's
I love
sure.
Rudy Ford. I like Rudy
that
Ford
dude
a lot.
Has a lot of heart.
He plays fast. I'll give him that. Like, I'm all in on anybody who goes a thousand miles an hour and is like, if I make a mistake, I'm going to do it at full speed. Like, that's all. Yeah. That's all I can ask.
That's why there were times watching the game where, again, even after it felt like the game was out of reach, because I don't know about you, it was like 8-minute mark after they get stopped. Oh. Maybe it's the 5-minute mark after they get stopped on the 4th and 3. You kind of you know the game's over, and you're still
the
seeing certain cats.
Chuck it up for Jesus was pretty much the dagger. Yeah,
that was it. Yeah, that was it. And to still see 20 going on out there throughout. Obviously, guys, they're paid professionals. I get it. I know, but when you have 4 minutes of football and you know that it's pretty much cooked. That does tell you what you kind of have with certain guys.
It tells
guys.
You who wants
and,
to play, right? Who wants
maybe
to play?
Maybe what you don't have with certain guys. Yeah.
No doubt about it. No question about it. I know who always brings it 1,000 every time we talk. It's Billy Schmidt from 97.3 The Game.
And I brought beer this time, actually.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. It's beer and ball. He's Bill. I'm Aaron. It's Cheesehead TV, 97.3 The Game. Make sure you check out Packers OT. Are you going to Philly?
Please.
Or no? You're going to be Green Bay.
No, I'm not going to hang out with the Johns. I'm going to be back here.
All right. That sounds good. Well, tell Drew I say hello. And since I won't talk to you before then, happy Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday.
Amen. You too.
Hope you have a good
time. Have a safe one. And we'll talk next week on Bear Week.
We'll talk next week. Whatever the fuck happens with this Packers team, I can't wait. It's always good therapy. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Later, brother.